Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Where to start? Well, it's either going to be SoCal related or it's going to be NoCal related. Being that I'm a SoCal native, I would never, ever pick Frisco over SoCal.
Hey, Frisco.
But Frisco, I'll get to you, just not first. Because I'm a SoCal. Battery chuckers. Keep the water coming. Anyway, Lake Show. You got exactly what you wanted, didn't you? You got your playoff spot. You got your number 7 seed. You get your rematch with the defending champs. And man, are you feeling good about yourselves right now. Never mind that the Nuggets are rested and lying in wait, rubbing their hands together, licking their chops, salivating, and getting ready for the chance to smack you around all over again. Never mind any of that. The Lake Show and the so-called Car Flag Nation are not thinking about that right now. They are simply basking in the glory of that huge play-in tournament win. I mean, if you thought they were hyped about winning the ears in-season invitational, man, you ought to see them right about now. I have. I was on the freeway this morning. I've seen them. Let me put it to you this way. The car flags are out this morning in SoCal. You hit up any freeway right now. You look in any direction. It is purple and gold car flags snapping in the wind as far as the eye can see. And if you listen really closely, you can even hear Randy Newman bumping in every last one of those cars. In fact, max volume. It's back. Here's how you know the vibes are way up here in Lakerland. Even the ham is puffing his chest out right now. Even Car Flag Nation is hyped on the ham this morning. All of a sudden, Laker Honk is not looking for the nearest wood chipper to run the ham through. Nope. Suddenly, Darvin Ham is not all that is wrong with the Lake Show. Car Flag Nation absolutely ate up the Ham's post-game performance last night. It started in the locker room when the Ham dropped this bomb.
Back to 0-0. We with all the smoke and we ain't ducking no fades. We're going to enjoy this one tonight, take tomorrow off, and then we'll go from there.
Quote, we want all the smoke and we ain't ducking no fades.
We with all the smoke and we ain't ducking no fades.
I'll tell you what, dude. It's actually a great line. It's actually the coolest thing that the Ham has ever said. That's the first time he sounded like the Laker coach. That's the first time he sounded like the Laker player would want to listen to the Laker coach. We want all the smoke and we ain't ducking no fades. Great line. Except for one little issue. The smoke that he wants, the smoke that he's inviting, is the very smoke coming off the defending champs. The smoke he's inviting is the smoke coming off the team that has smoked the Lake Show the last 8 straight times they've played and smoked them right the hell out the Western Conference Finals in a 4-game sweep last year. Look, there's no denying it. The Ham and the Lake Show very clearly want that smoke. Why? I have no idea. You know, and don't come in here with, you got to play him at some point. To be the man, you got to beat the man. You can't beat the man. That's the whole point. However, they say they want that smoke. I actually think they want that smoke. All that smoke. So clearly, the Ham and the Lake Show aren't ducking the Nuggets, because they had a chance to duck the Nuggets, and instead they did exactly the opposite. And look, like I said yesterday, they were in an impossible spot. They were stuck between the Ham and the hard place. Obviously, tanking a game in a play-in is an extremely risky move. Then again, so is aiming for the defending champs who have smoked you 8 straight times. And then running your mouths afterwards and inviting, quote, all the smoke. Leave it to the Lake Show to take basically their first opportunity all year to chirp and then blow right past chirping to screaming their smack right into a megaphone, which included insane asylum smack when the ham was asked about this notion that maybe it would have been better to avoid a matchup with the Nuggets. The ham wasn't having any of that.
Insane asylum sources say.
Sure.
Nah.
If you it wasn't sourced. It wasn't.
Okay.
It was just chatter.
Just someone that just got out of the insane asylum. Okay.
Yeah, we heard you the first time, the ham. Man, he liked that line. He liked that line a lot. Man, the ham was extraordinarily pleased with the ham last night.
Insane asylum sources say.
My man, you were feeling awfully good about winning a play-in game. The ham was loving him some ham last night. Seriously, the ham was acting like he was on the floor, a la Mike, cradling the hardware and making out with it. Crying the first time he won it. Dude, it was a play-in game. Either way, this whole notion of, did someone just get out the insane asylum? No, dude. It's just that the people who watch your last 8 games against the Nuggets, it's just those of us who remember the Western Conference Finals and everything that's happened since then, realize that steering into those dudes seems pretty doomed, especially when you've actually had success against the Thunder. But I get it, the ham. Believe me, I get it. You all want the smoke. Believe me, you're going to get all that smoke. You're going to get exactly what you want, ham. Don't worry. And it's not just the ham that's looking for all that smoke. AD has been inviting the smoke. He's been inviting that same smoke from Denver since the offseason. Remember when AD took issue with the way Denver celebrated their Larry O?
It was just a lot of, like, the talking and all the Lakers, that, like, it was just so much of that going on. Like, all right, we get it, y'all won. But, you know, I think, you know, me and Bron had some conversations, like, we can't wait.
You can't wait.
We can't
you
wait.
And Bron had conversations like, you can't wait. You can't wait for what? You can't wait for what? To get smacked again by Denver? And again? And again? And again? Dude, that version of I can't wait had even less punch than Dino in Vegas's version. And I would have bet my life that it wasn't even possible to drop a I can't wait lamer than the Dino in Vegas's version of I can't wait.
We can't wait.
Hardly wait.
AD.
We can't wait.
Can't wait for what? To get smacked by the Nuggets again.
For the smack up.
Can't wait.
We can't wait.
For the 9th straight time.
We can't
beat them. Because they own us.
We can't wait.
And they got a better coach. And a better team. And we can't stop running our mouths. But we did win the playing game.
We can't wait.
You're getting all this, Dino. I'm just riffing, Dino. Anyway, incredibly, AD is looking up at Dino. Who would have ever thought? So, Carflog Nation, forgive me. Forgive me if I'm not quite as fired up as you are this morning. Because I heard this team talk a huge game before, but all I've seen on the floor are the Nuggets wiping the floor with that same team. These dudes talk big so far, but they haven't backed any of it up. Congrats, you won a play-in game. You had to actually play your way in to the postseason. Have you hung your play-in banner yet? It's been a few hours. Have you scheduled your play-in parade yet for beating the Pels? But I know. You want all that smoke. You're not ducking any fades. They're the ones that talk too much, right? That's Rich, actually. The Lakers thinking that it's the Nuggets who talk too much. I love that. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. You know why they talk so much? The same reason, all together now, the same reason anybody does anything, because they can. And you know why they can? Oh yeah, that's right, they're the defending champs. That's right, they beat you 4 straight last year. So to me, the question is not, why does Denver talk so much? The question is, why are the Lakers talking so much? Not because they can, but because they won the Ears Invitational? Because they won a play-in game? Because you've won nothing, and the Nuggets smacked you the last 8 times they played. And if you're going to hit me with, yo, Rome, what was the ham supposed to say? My answer would be nothing. He should say nothing. And he really shouldn't be saying things like, we want the Nuggets. We want all that smoke. And if you think otherwise, you belong in an insane asylum. You see, ham?
Insane asylum.
The question is not, are you going to win this series? Because you're not. The question is, are you going to win even a game? But you got what you wanted. Instead of telling us what you wanted, why don't you show us? Because nobody can hear a word you're saying anyway. I know LeCap can't because he's not listening. He can't hear you because he's not listening because he's been tuning you out for months. But congrats. Congrats on winning the playing game. You earned all that smoke. Man, my dude, the ham was feeling the ham. The ham was happy with the ham. Nobody's liking the ham more than the ham. Not even Wells. Heyo. Not even Zion, who doesn't like ham as much as he used to. I think that Zion went cold turkey on the ham. And by the way, would you have even have won that game if the Zion didn't go down late in the fourth quarter, the ham? Because Zion was cooking, yo. He was cooking, and I'm not talking about gumbo. Zion was having a night. Zion, as great as LeBron played last night, Zion was the best player on the floor. I think Zion looked better last night than he's ever looked as a pro. And he does deserve some bleeping credit this morning, for real. Because Zion was the one getting cooked when these two played in the Ears in-season tourney, remember? Credit to this guy. It finally dawned on this dude that he needed to put those beignets down.
Put that coffee down.
And finally get himself into shape. And he did. Now dude looks great, look great, feel great, feel great, ball the hell out. And he just balled the hell out against the Lake Show. And it was heartbreaking and devastating to see him lead his team all the way back. They were down by 18 at one point. He led them all the way back with that layup late to tie the game, only to get dinged. Even more brutal, so you hate to see that. Even more brutal if he can't make it back Friday night against Sacktown. Kings fans, you know I'll get to you. Even more brutal, though, if he can't make it back. But when he was out there last night, dude was money. Had to be a tough watch for you haters. Had to be a tough night for the Zion Wazaton crowd. He's no longer Pion Williamson anymore, clowns. So no more Zion Eats-A-Ton for you. Zion National Pork. As much as you love that one, no longer applies. Nor does Air Gumbo or The Big Diabetic or The Chunk of Dunk. 1-800-636-8686. Something else I want to get to later on regarding that matchup and that broadcast. Normally, I do not talk about broadcasters, and if I do, it's always in a positive light, right? I'll talk about the legends, Kevin Harlan, Ian Eagle, you know, some of my favorites. I don't take runs at other broadcasters. I never have, because to me, it's really lazy. There's enough to talk about without talking about each other. I've always thought that was super lazy and super lame. But I got to ask, like, Reggie Miller, dude, what were you doing and thinking and watching last night, my man? You're like an icon of the game. You have forgotten more than I could learn in the next million years about basketball. But, dude, what exactly were you talking about last night when you were suggesting that AD should miss that free throw to go ahead 4? I would say make that make sense, but nobody can. Hard as you did try to make that make sense, Reg. I'll get to that later on. Clones, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need more energy? Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. No, we want beef. Pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. Shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. And why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it comes in 4 amazing flavors that satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? We are joined right now by Terrion Arnold. Terrion, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. How you doing?
Good, dude. Good. It's great to have you. So the NFL draft is now just 8 days away. You are going to be one of the guys who's there in Detroit to experience it all in person. I'm curious, Terrion, how slowly is that clock moving right now for you, and how anxious are you to find out where you're going to live and work?
Man, I'm very anxious. That clock, it needs to tick a little faster, if we're being honest.
You know, it's what can you do, right, man? It will go as fast as it will go, but you're getting there. Hey, listen, follow me on this. There's a lot of ways that draft prospects can make their mark at the combine. You checked all the boxes in your drills and measurables, but I want to ask you about this. You made a really amazing impression when you hit the podium in the way you handled yourself in a media session. I understand that it takes a great deal of self-belief to be a shutdown corner. You're looking to dominate every single time you take on the field. But if football is a metaphor for life, do you look to attack and dominate every task and every opportunity that comes your way, including a press conference like that?
Yes, yes, I do. I would say anytime that you have opportunities in front of you and you're prepared for it, you want to kill it. So, like, opportunity met preparation, I was prepared to do that.
You know, the football analogy that's typically used for cornerbacks, of course, is you're out there on an island, right? You're on an island by yourself against a wide receiver. You actually have a different metaphor for that, too. You describe the position based on what your grandfather did for a living. It's a great story. Mm-hmm. Can you break that down for us?
Well, my grandfather, he always had me on the roof at a young age. But just me being on the roof at a young age, it was kind of, I wanted to go with my friends. I wanted to go hang out with them. But it taught me discipline. It taught me hard work and the mentality that I have today. I get that from him. Obviously, you're out there in the hot sun doing something you don't want to do, but you have to make the time switch and focus on getting the job done. Same thing when you have rough days at practice when you don't want to go out there and do that, but you still have to go out there and get it done. So then, even being on the roof, there wasn't any guidance. There wasn't anything that my granddad could do to hold my hand so I didn't fall. If I was scared, then I would fall. Same thing with playing cornerback. If you're scared, if you're not prepared, and the biggest thing you have to have is confidence. So if you don't have confidence in yourself, everybody's going to know it. And the opposing team, they're going to go at you because you can see it. Even your teammates can see if you're playing scared. So I just use that analogy as far as getting my confidence from the roof.
I love that. From the roof. Terrion Arnold is joining us. I love that. And you're exactly right. I mean, everybody can smell fear. Everybody can see it. Not only the guys you're going up against, but your own teammates. When was the last time you lacked in confidence? The best of the best can lose their confidence at times. When was the last time you lost confidence?
Last time I lost confidence was in a high school basketball game when I shot a corner three and it hit side of the backboard. I didn't want to shoot anymore. But I gained it back because shooters keep shooting, and I ended up hitting the game winner.
Oh, dude, that's great, too. Love it. Terrion Arnold is joining us. You know, in terms of corners, the next corner I speak to who doesn't think that he's the best in the game is going to be the first. I get that. If you don't believe that, like you and I are talking about, you shouldn't be on the field in the first place. As you get ready to take your talents to the next level, who are a few of the top corners in the NFL that you respect and you admire the most?
Patrick Surtain, obviously a Bama alumni, man. Darius Slay. Obviously, you got to give respect where respect is due with Jalen Ramsey, Sauce Gardner, and guys like AJ Terrell. I love his game, man. Very savvy, and Trayvon Diggs.
I like that. Terrion Arnold joining us. How long before you're in that same category, that same conversation, and people are saying the same thing about you?
Couple more months, man. A couple more months.
You know, Alabama's always been a pipeline to the pros. This season's no different. You and Kool-Aid McKinstry were a tremendous tandem outside for the Crimson Tide. You're both projected to go in the first round. How did your time on the practice field and playing with him make you a better player?
Iron sharpens iron. We motivated each other to be better. If one person gave up a pass, Lord knows if you gave up a touchdown, you wouldn't be able to say nothing to the other person until the next day after practice. And you better not have gave up a pass that day. So just the competition aspect, like we really push each other because we're both competitors. Like if somebody catches a ball on me in practice, I'm ready to fight. Like it's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And when you go in there, you go into gladiator mode. And he understood that with me too. So anytime we were ready to go to war, I knew my brother had my back and vice versa.
Man, anytime anybody caught a ball on you in practice, you wanted to fight. You know, I've always heard this. A coach told me this a long, long time ago, that the very best take everything personally. Like, you got to have a short memory, but you have to take it personally. Do you take those things personally, all those things?
Very personal. Like, even in games, you look at me a certain way. If the play isn't going on, if it's a run play and you're jogging down the field and you just intentionally try to push me, little things like that. You don't get inside my head, but hey, I remember those things. And I'm just the type of person, I do my research on every player that I'm going against. So I know what ticks them. I know what triggers them. I know how to get certain reactions out of them. And you're not going to know I'm talking trash unless sometimes we get into a chatting match. But I just say little subtle things to get up under your head. I can't do it if we lose it. But when we win it, I get a little pass, deflection, get a little pass, break up and whisper something in your ear just to get in your head.
All right, so with all that in mind, let me ask you this. When you decided to play for Alabama, you knew you were going to be coached hard by Nick Saban and his staff. There was that one sequence last season where TV cameras caught him airing you out for a defensive lapse. I'm curious, especially as headstrong as you are, when you're in that moment, how are you processing it? As an example, are you able to separate what he's trying to tell you from how he's saying it? Or is that kind of impossible to do when you're in the heat of the moment and old Nick is coming in so hot?
Nah, all I did was smile during the moment because I knew that's what I came there for. And honestly, what he was getting on to me for, it wasn't something that had anything to do with me because it was a play that had just busted. But a previous play before that, I timed up the blitz wrong on the motion, and I should have got a sack. So it just speaks to the high expectations he had for me, and I just embraced it. So, I mean, I couldn't help but smile because I'm like, okay, coach, I understand. I got to be better. I appreciate you for getting on to me.
Terrion Arnold is joining us. Listen, you're one of 13 prospects, only 13, who are going to be attending the draft next week. You're also somebody who I know practices visualization quite a bit. I'm sure you've thought about and visualized this moment of getting your name called over and over and over again. Given your commitment and your hard work, I'm sure you've seen that moment many times before it's even happened, maybe even felt that moment before it's happened, if that makes sense. So as you visualize getting your name called, what does it look and feel like to you?
Just feels like, honestly, surreal. every time I envision it, I hear it, see myself getting up, and then I just go blank. Because after that, you can't really see it anymore. It's almost like a play. You visualize the play that's going to happen. You know what's going to happen when you line up. But then when it happens, you're just in the moment. So that's how it's going to be.
That is how it's going to be. He was a freshman All-American in 2022. He was a first-team All-American last year. We are now just a little more than a week off of the draft. He is a top draft prospect. Terrion Arnold, my guest. My man, really good to talk to you. I appreciate you sharing your thoughts a week ahead of the draft, man. Have a great draft night. And as soon as you figure out and find out where you're going to live and work, I'm going to look for you again.
Yes, sir.
So I've got a quick question for you. Are you looking for ultimate comfort and pain relief? Let's compare G-Defy shoes to other shoe brands that promise comfort and support and pain relief. Typical shoe brands rely on EVA soles for cushioning, but G-Defy offers so much more. G-Defy goes above and beyond with VersoShock technology, providing superior shock absorption and energy return if you suffer from foot, knee, or back pain. G-Defy's advanced technology may help provide you with the relief you deserve. I can't even believe these shoes and the difference they make for me. G-Defy shoes also offer two free supportive orthotics to help improve your body's biomechanics, resulting in proper body alignment and ultimate comfort. Yes, they do all that. So whether you're an athlete, a busy parent, or just somebody who's always on the go, G-Defy shoes offers the versatility and the comfort that your feet crave and need. Say goodbye to discomfort. G-Defy is more than EVA soles. It could be your path to unparalleled comfort and pain relief. Visit G-Defy.com today. Experience ultimate comfort and pain relief at G-Defy.com. G-D-E-F-Y.com. Use the code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. That's code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. G-Defy shoes. They are incredible. Did you happen to see this piece that was on ESPN.com? Maybe more specific and ask one person in particular. Hood. Bill Belichick, if you're listening right now, you might want to turn off your station.
You have a problem? Turn off your station.
Thank you, Albie. At least for a few minutes. And I know you're out there, Hood. I'm just giving you a heads up because this is going to be rough for you, my dude. In the very least, cover Nike's ears. If the rest of you did not catch that bombshell article that dropped on ESPN's site this morning about why the Hood Man is currently unemployed, you need to go check it out. It's worth your time. And you can tell from the very first line, quote, this is how this column starts, quote, on the morning of January 25th, a few hours before the Atlanta Falcons named Raheem Morris to be their next head coach, Bill Belichick believed the job was his. End of quote. Alba, you can blow that up. The Hood thought the job was his up until a few hours before. Yikes, Hood. So it turns out Hoodman was just as surprised as the rest of us by the Raheem Morris hire. In fact, it sounds like he was way more surprised than the rest of us because he woke up that morning thinking he'd be the one getting that call, which is incredible. How do you think that guy felt when he found out you are not the coach? It's going to Raheem. Man, you want to talk about a dude losing his touch. You want to talk about a dude being out of touch. You want to talk about a dude maybe being out of time altogether. Hood's radar was so off on that Falcons job that he thought, quote, the job was his. Meanwhile, we now know, thanks to this ESPN piece, that when the owner of the team, Arthur Blank, and his top lieutenants met to talk about the candidates, quote, Bill Belichick didn't even finish in anyone's top three. End of quote. Not only did he not get that job, he really wasn't even under consideration in the end. He didn't finish in anybody's top three. AKA, he didn't even come close. He wasn't even like the runner-up. Hoodman thought he had the job locked down, but he wasn't even a serious contender. I mean, damn, Hood. That is embarrassing, brah. Even Matt the Ticonderoga Patricia's offense cannot believe how embarrassing and how bad of a look that is. Didn't even finish in the top three. Don't get me wrong. They got it right. Raheem definitely deserved that job. I love that hire. I love Raheem. But Hood, the GOAT, the guy 15 wins away from being the all-time winningest coach ever, the guy with six rings, didn't even finish in the top three. I mean, damn, dude. Even you getting caught with your supple, buxom moves on a ring cam thinks that that's humiliating. Hood? Now, the funny thing is, the column also makes it clear that at one point, he actually did have a shot. Remember that first meeting? And I even made light of it in saying, like, Arthur Blank is going to interview Bill Belichick? How do you interview the GOAT, right? Interview him about what? Does the guy just show up and open up a box with six rings? What are you going to talk about? But they actually did have a conversation. And that conversation took place on Art's 295-foot, 180-million super yacht. That's power. Where are we going to meet on my super yacht? Not even at my mansion. Not even at my vacation mansion. Not even on my fifth vacation mansion, but on my super yacht. Not even on my yacht, but my super yacht. Anyway, that meeting apparently went pretty well. At that point, Hood might have even been the clubhouse leader. He might have even had the inside track. So the question is, what happened? What happened after that? Speculation is, Bob Kraft happened. Now, let's be clear in this piece. The Patriots are swerving way out of their lane to deny this. But apparently, Arthur Blank, according to this piece, Arthur Blank checked Hoodman's references, which to me is hilarious. Even funnier than thinking that the Hoodman had to actually interview is that as part of the interview, he had to provide references. Imagine Arthur Blank saying to Hood, "Yo, Hood, can I see your references? Can you point me to any references?" Apparently, he had to. So how good is it to know that the job search process is the same, exactly the same for billionaires and six-time Lombardi winners as it is for the rest of us? That makes me smile. So Arthur Blank checks Hood's references, reportedly. And of course, one of the references was his buddy Bob Kraft. Arthur Blank and Bobby Kraft are buds. And that's where things reportedly hopped off the rails for Hoodman's chances to get that job. Because Bob Kraft did not exactly give Hood, reportedly, a glowing recommendation. In fact, apparently, he gave the exact opposite of a glowing recommendation. According to this ESPN piece, hey, listen, I've got to tell you guys about this. So the other day, I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around. A product that I now carry around. It's something different for fresh breath. It's this amazing product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is an absolute game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. If it's not, they won't hear what you're selling or saying anyway. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't. Because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow. Clinically tested against the toughest offenders like garlic and onions even. You just pop two or three in your mouth. You suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts for hours. This product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth, and then it goes down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. It's that strong. You're going to love having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath or your money back. That's right, or your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you'll want it, but they will. They have free shipping if you order three packs or more. And trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping, right? So go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com right now. Do it now and you'll get 15% off when you use my promo code ROME. That's Zelmins.com. But you have to use the code ROME, R-O-M-E, to get your 15% savings. Do it. Do it right now. He warned blank. Kraft warned blank, quote, not to trust Bill. End of quote. Oh! Imagine those guys on the same phone call. Yo, Bob, Art. Bobby, Artie. Hey, listen, my man. I know he won six rings and all, but, you know, what do you think? Is this a good idea? Oh, hell no. Don't trust him, dude. I'd love billionaire talk. I'd love to tap into that phone call. I want to hear billionaires now they rap to each other. Oh, nah, dude. Nah, brah. Don't trust that guy.
No.
Snake. He's a snake, man. Don't trust him. Apparently, that's not all Kraft said. He also reportedly said, quote, made clear to blank that you'll never have a warm conversation with Belichick. No way. What? The hood's not warm? The hood's not a good guy to be around?
No, in all honesty, we've been a big...
You're telling me this guy's not warm? You mean to tell me you can't have a warm, fuzzy conversation with this dude?
No, in all honesty, we've been a big...
What, this dude doesn't want to dap you up or hug it out afterwards? No, bro hugs? No bro hugs with a hood?
No, in all honesty,
hey, listen, you might even make the point that, come on, man. Like, billionaires give a damn. Business is business. I would argue, though, that if you're a billionaire and you're about to pay a guy who probably is going to ask for $20 million a year or 25, you probably don't want to hate the guy. You probably want to be happy to see him in the facility. So, apparently, Kraft, quote, made clear to blank, you'll never have a warm conversation with Belichick. And I think as these billionaire owners go, Arthur Blank actually is one of the warmer guys. I know this. As billionaire owners go, we actually have a better chance of getting him on the show than other billionaire owners. You know why that is? As billionaire owners go, he's a pretty warm guy. So yeah, I would think that'd be a turnoff. If every time he went in to have a conversation with his coach, the coach looked at him and said, also as part of this piece, another source said, quote, Kraft found Bill to be extremely difficult and obstinate and kind of stubborn and in the end, not worthy of his trust and also very, very, very arrogant. Three varies, not one, not two, three very, very, very arrogance. You know, that whole thing about his players would say, man, you don't know. None of you know what this guy's about. This dude's funny. This dude's real. This dude's authentic. All of you on the outside who think that he's, quote, extremely difficult and obstinate and kind of arrogant or stubborn and not worthy of trust, and very, very, very arrogant, don't know what the hell you're talking about. Okay. Then why did the owner and the guy who paid him say that's exactly how he is? And reportedly tell that to one of his best owner buddies. Nah, dude, you don't want this guy. You know why? He's extremely difficult and obstinate and kind of stubborn, and in the end, not worthy of trust, and very, very, very arrogant. Oh, and not warm either. So, what's a quarter of a century of service to Bob Kraft get you? The worst job reference in the history of job references. And again, the Pats are denying this. According to the piece, though, Kraft, quote, was a big part, end of quote, of why the Falcons passed on the hood. Yeah, no kidding. If Kraft told blank even half of the things that are printed in this piece, then Kraft seems like the entire reason the Falcons passed on the hood. As much as they're denying it, and despite what they've said publicly, if even half of that is true, it would seem like Kraft torpedoed the entire candidacy. Although I'm sure that Hood did plenty of his own damage, right? Like when he reportedly brought up the possibility of bringing in the likes of Joe, the leader of men, Judge, Matt, the Ticonderoga, and Jack Easterby. See, one of the reasons he was asked, well, like, what's gone on the last few years, dude? Like, you guys suck. What happened? What happened? Aside from Tommy, aside from you running off the greatest quarterback ever, what happened? Apparently, Belichick has been saying, well, we lost a lot of our assistants. So one of my ideas is to bring these guys back, to build a staff and bring these guys back. And then when Arthur Blank, being the very intelligent billionaire that he is, hit him with the very obvious question, well, Bill, none of these guys have had any success once they've left. Why is that? What is your explanation for that? You want to bring them all back, but none of them have had any success. Why is that? Quote, this is what the piece said. He, quote, asked Belichick why his charges had failed elsewhere. Belichick replied that he thought they were better soldiers than generals. End of quote. Oh, so that finally explains the rotted Hoodman coaching tree. Hood does not develop generals. He develops soldiers. Yeah, except the problem with that take is Matt the Ticonderoga and Joe the Leader of Men were not good soldiers either. And Jack Easterby. I mean, damn, Hood, really? You were trying to bring Jack Easterby with you to the ATL. To do what? I mean, seriously, the hell does that guy even do? So when you check the entire column, there were clearly a lot of reasons why Hoodman and the Falcons were not a great fit. Bob Kraft, though, apparently did not help at all. Bob Kraft, in fact, did everything he could to not help, which, again, the Patriots deny. They can deny it all they want, but we know that Blank and Kraft are close. We know that the Hood not only didn't get that job, he wasn't even in the top three. So let's not act like Kraft didn't tell Blank that the Hood was an arrogant pain in the ass. Which is why, ultimately, as a source close to the hiring process described, Hoodman, quote, was essentially voted off the island. End of quote. Can you imagine that tribal council on Falcons Island? Man, they should have filmed that for TV. That would have been incredibly dramatic. Can't you see it right now? Hood in the middle of his interview on the super yacht. And then all of a sudden, Jeff Probst pops in out of nowhere. And then the music starts. Arthur Blank stands. He motions to the door. The rest of the front office enters the room. They write their notes or their votes on a piece of paper. Arthur collects all the votes. He passes them over to Probst. And the Hoodman's got to sit there while Probst opens them all up one by one and reads everyone's top three coaching candidates. None of them have Hood in their top three. Then Probst tells Hood to bring his tiki torch to the front of the room and says, Hood man, the tribe has spoken. You're voted off the island.
Please bring me your torch.
Get the hell off our island. Then Probst puts out Hoodie's tiki flame and puts him on a dinghy and sends him out to sea while the rest of the front office waves from the super yacht as he floats off on a raft.
Time for you to go.
Time for you to go, Hood. Then as he sits there on his raft, we cut to the confessional, and the Hood is mumbling Like he's trying to get through another humiliating post-game presser while the credits roll. The hood's like,
I had a good time. I learned a lot. I stayed true to myself and my character and my boys. Matt the Pencil, Joe the Leader of Men. I have no regrets. No regrets at all. Well, maybe one regret. Maybe I should have used the immunity idol. Now, one more regret.
Chop smoke.
One more regret. I definitely should not have listed that a-hole Bob Kraft as a reference. That's a regret.
Bill the Goat!
By the way, Probst, nice raft. Thanks for nothing.
You can't just imagine a sunburnt, dehydrated, lip-chapped hoodie staring into the camera in disbelief that everybody just stabbed him right in the back. I don't know. Hoodie strikes me as a guy who would just lean all the way in on a show like Survivor. Dude would be walking around in his sleeveless hoodie with no pants, no bottoms of any kind, just walking around with his cheeks out. On Survivor, Hoodie would be that one token, disgusting, revolting, gross old man that smells terrible. And that's the actual reason everybody hates him and wants him off the island, because he reeks. They'd be like, Hood man, we didn't vote you off Falcon's Island because of anything Bob Kraft said. We voted you off because you smell like ass, old man. And the man boobs, also extremely off-putting. Clean it up, old man. Or get a bra. Or do a few push-ups. I mean, under the best of circumstances, a showered, well-rested, healthy Bill looks like a homeless guy anyway, right? I can't imagine how this guy would look in the Pearl Islands, Panama, sleeping on some leaves and dirt, emaciated, dry, rashy skin, bunch of mosquito bites, walking barefoot in the mud. And you know the guy's not going to skip many meals, right? How much grumpier can that dude get if he's got to build a shelter on an empty stomach when he hasn't eaten in 10 days? Hey, Bill, can you go gather some branches and vines?
I put the clamps on the greatest show on turf. I'm not collecting bleep. Go get your own damn branches. Do I look like I'm a leaf collector? Go get your own grasshoppers, man. I need a steak.
I don't know what's worse. Believe me, I can do this forever. Don't act like I can't. I'll run this right through the Bomb of the Hour sports update. You tell me what's worse. Being the first person voted off in Survivor, or being a Super Bowl winning coach and going unemployed with half the jobs available at one point? Good question, right? I can answer it for you, too. It's definitely being the first person voted off. You know why? All you have to do is just lay low. Like, I haven't watched an episode in a long, long time, and even I know that. Just don't alienate anybody. Don't piss anybody off. And then at the same time, don't make yourself a big target. The tribe never likes anyone coming off like an alpha male right away. I mean, how many seasons of this show have there been? Like 9,000? How do you not know that? Just make nice. Show a little hustle, a little energy, a little enthusiasm. Everybody loves everybody. They all love each other the first day. How do you make that many enemies in the first 10 minutes of the show? You'd have to be an a-hole. How hard is that? Do you know how bad of a guy or gal you have to be? How hard is it to stay down for 5 minutes? You make just one freaking ally, and then you get past the first tribal council. You probably should have stayed in the helicopter, not jumped out. First one off the island, yo. Shout out to everybody involved. Sorry I ran that thing so long. I just had a lot to say. It's an incredible calm. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. We are joined by Mac Brown. Mac, my friend, it is always a treat to visit with you. How are things, Mac?
Jim, I am great, and it's always great to be on your show. I love you. I love what you stand for, and you and I have been dear friends for many years, so this is always something I look forward to.
Mac, you said it better than me, and I love you back. Absolutely. So let me ask you this, Mac. As somebody who spent a lifetime in football, how much of a sense of renewal do you feel during spring practice as you get to reconnect with your team, get in some valuable work right ahead of the spring game that's coming up on this Saturday?
Jim, I love it. I think it recharges me because it's the start of your new family, your start of your new team. Unlike the NFL, we're a different team every year. We've got 30 new players that will play in the spring game this weekend. So you're always trying to fix things. So here we are sitting here with our problems, and why haven't we finished the season well? Why hasn't this worked? Why aren't we playing more players? Why do we have too many penalties? And that's what spring's about. You give a harsh evaluation, self-evaluation. You try to figure out what you're doing well and expand on that. But you want to make sure that you're fixing the things that aren't working. Coach Bowden used to tell me if the worst thing you can ever do is continue to practice a mistake. And that's the things we do in our lives. We got to take things that aren't doing well and we got to fix them. And that's what spring's about.
I like that. Mac Brown joining us. You know, when you talk about self-evaluation, Mac, you know I'm always fascinated by your approach and your process. At the end of every single year, before you evaluate your team, do you evaluate yourself?
Absolutely. And I even ask our coaches to. And I'll talk to friends in the business and say, we're doing this. How are you doing this? How are you handling this NIL stuff? How are you handling the transfer portal? And then I've got kind of a self-made board of about 7 or 8 people that are very successful, Jim, that I trust that'll tell me the truth, whether I like it or not. And I will bounce things off them. And that's just something I've always done. I've always tried to be more critical on me than anybody else.
I love that, Mac, that you've got a board of 7 or 8 people. Are they inside the sport, outside the sport, or maybe a combination of both?
They're both. I was so lucky for many years, Jim, that the older coaches took care of me. And I would call and ask hard questions, and they would all tell me the truth. So whether it was Coach Paterno, Coach Royal, Coach Bowden, Coach Schimbeckler, Lou Holtz, Coach Holtz, they would always pick up the phone, call me right back, and say no. And they'd always say, boy, hey, do it this way. And I loved it. So now I'm kind of the older guy, so I've really transformed that board more to very successful people that are involved closely with the Texas football program or the North Carolina football program. So they know who we are. They know what the expectations are. They know the resources we have, and they can help me work through my problems.
Mac Brown joining us. Mac, I know that you would be thrilled to give that back and pay that back. My question is, are the younger coaches today making that same phone call to you?
A lot of them are, and that's I came back to coaching because I miss the players. And when you can change somebody's life every day, what a gift. And you get up every morning with a purpose. And that's been my purpose my whole life. But now I can also give back to younger coaches. So especially when there's probably more changes to our game in my last 3 years than my first 47. So we're all working through this together, but things are different than when I started. It's better and harder now. Coaches are getting paid a lot more. There's a lot less patience. With social media, everything you say and do is out there every minute of every day. Your publicity is national if you're any good at all, and everything you say, you have to be smart, you have to be careful, and coaches are too sensitive. I learned through the media that you have a hard job, and your job is to find things that other people have not been able to discover or talk about, and you talk about them because that's who you are. You've got friends all over the place, and I've told coaches they're not after you. They've got a hard job, and they're trying to do their job. They're trying to get listeners. They're trying to get readers, and that's not a bad thing. That's what they do. That's what they do for a living. So you worry about your job and don't worry about them. So hopefully some of the things I've messed up in my life, the things we all messed up, we try to get our children not to mess up, our grandchildren not to do, that they can learn from our mistakes, and the same thing with younger coaches.
We're talking to Mac Brown. You know, Mac, I'm trying to talk to you about your team and your players, but it's so interesting. All of this, as always, is so interesting. I think the advice that you just had for other coaches applies to everybody in every walk of life. Just worry about your job and don't worry about the others and what they're doing. Just worry about yourself and don't worry about the others. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that the job is so much different right now and it's so much more difficult. The media certainly is part of that, but then again, it's because of the changing landscape as well. We've seen head coaches retire. We've seen head coaches go to the NFL. We've seen head coaches even stay in the college game, Mac, but take a coordinator's position. Because you are one of the longest tenured coaches in the country and an icon of the game, how do you feel about that changing landscape and your position within it? Do you have the same passion, the same love, and the same energy that you always have brought to it?
I probably got the same passion, the same love, and more energy because I know I'm 72. And every day somebody says I'm going to quit, and I think they think if I had any sense I'd quit. That's probably what they're saying. But I've taken that, Jim, as a compliment. If they want me to quit, then they must think I'm doing something good. So that's what I tell all the coaches. Six of them were fired that were telling all the recruits I was going to quit, so they better start worrying about themselves. But I get up every day, and I love to take issues and negatives and turn them into positives. And right now, the game of football has never been better. People are loving watching it. The ratings are up. The stadiums are full. We finally got a playoff system like everybody else in sports has got. Kids are getting paid, and they should. You can transfer if you're not playing. So that's good for kids. It's healthy. The combination of the transfer portal and NIL at the same time and people tampering is not good. I mean, you shouldn't be able to buy somebody off somebody else's campus. So we've got some things we've got to tweak. But right now, I get excited about helping our coaches and our guys get through these turbulent times. We said you could either pout about COVID or you could be the best at handling COVID and moving forward. That's when you were going to win. It gave the ones that were more organized and made better decisions a chance to win. Same thing now. It's a little tougher because the ones that have the most money are recruiting the best players. So since we aren't in that group, what we've got to do is make sure that we recruit a right guy that wants to be here, that wants to be here for education, that's not going to ask for a bag of money coming in, and he's also not going to leave for a bag of money 2 years later when he becomes a great player. So that's different for us. It doesn't mean it's bad. It doesn't mean we can sit around and whine about it. It's not an excuse, but it gets me up early every morning trying to figure out how we can take who we are and still compete at the highest level.
Mac Brown joining us once again. So, Mac, when you talk about having 30 new players, for instance, obviously you're going to focus on a number of different positions, but including the quarterback position, because Drake May is moving on to the NFL as a top draft prospect, you know, any potential first-round pick, and we just touched on this, but any potential first-round pick is going to be heavily scrutinized. But given his outstanding play for you and all the positives surrounding him and his approach, are you surprised that he's had to face the scrutiny and questions about his readiness for the pros? And what's your reaction?
Well, Jim, this is my 50th draft as a coach. So I've sat and listened to this many, many years, and a lot of people are saying that he's a great prospect. He is a generational prospect. He's going to win a Super Bowl. He's perfect. And a few stand up and get a little attention saying he'll get somebody fired. Really and truly, what I do is I take it all as a grain of salt. Like we said, some people do it for attention. Some people probably just think, hadn't studied it as much. He is a great prospect, not a good prospect, and they're not going to pay somebody that much money and be a number one pick. But in the draft, some people like to throw shade on players because they'd like for other people to back off, and they've got a better chance to draft them at their spot. Some people like to get attention because if you take the opposite approach completely than everybody else, then everybody's going to be talking about you and call your name, and that's what they wanted. So we actually have Brian Simmons, who was a number one draft choice for me here as a linebacker, played a long time in the NFL, and then was an eight-year pro scout. He runs our NFL liaison program to meet with the scouts and meet with the general managers and the owners and the coaches. We have Freddie Kitchens on our staff, who was the head coach at the Cleveland Browns. We have Clyde Christensen, who coached Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Oliver Luck and some of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play. And we've got Ted Monachino, who won a Super Bowl at the Ravens and then was defensive coordinator at Indianapolis Colts. So we have those three guys meet with all of our draft-eligible guys and tell them exactly what happens in the draft. Here's what's going to happen at the combine. Here's what they're going to look at. Here's what you should do, your expectations. Here's what they're going to do at pro day. Here's what's going to happen when a scout comes in or a coach comes in to try you out. Here's what he's going to ask you, and here are the expectations he wants. And then we did it last night. Guys, here's what's going to happen at the draft. Here's how you should handle it. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's happening in those rooms. And some kids would say, well, do we sit by the phone? Yes, because if you don't answer the phone, they're going to somebody else. If you're a free agent, well, what do we wear when do we have to go after we're drafted? What do we wear? Where do we stay? Do we have to have a hotel? Do we have to have an apartment? So these are invaluable questions that our coaches with experience can help these guys understand the draft, and then they would talk to Drake in that light about, oh, this happens every year. The highest drafted and rated players are going to have the most scrutiny, and somebody is going to take the opposite side. So don't worry about it. Just move on and continue to be you.
Mac Brown joining us. That is so interesting. So, Mac, before you leave us, what about Drake? I mean, you know him better than anybody, and I think you laid this out perfectly, right? There are certain people saying certain things to get people to look at them, and it can be any number of reasons, but you know, what do you believe are his greatest strengths that do, in fact, make him not a good but a great prospect and a potential franchise QB in the NFL?
Well, to start with, Jim, if his mom and dad would let me, I'd adopt him. He is a great person. He's competitive. He's grown up in an athletic family. His mom was a college athlete. His dad was the leading passer in the ACC. He's got two brothers that won national championships, one in baseball at Florida and one at basketball here. He's got another brother that was on our basketball team. He's the youngest of four, so he's been beaten up. He had to fight to get a chicken leg at the table. So he's so competitive in everything he does. He's smart. He's got pride. He is so passionate about football that he does everything right in his life to make sure that he's going to play the best he can play. If there's a negative for him, he's played 2 years. Most of these guys have played 5 and 6 years because of COVID. He's only had two. So what I see in that is he's accomplished National Player of the Year. In only 2 years, what he's got is the upside is unbelievable because he can improve so much every year. And I don't think there's any question. You got to get with the right team. You got to have the right coaches. But he's a guy that can win a Super Bowl at quarterback.
Situation and fit are so important, Mac. I agree with you. You know, most of all, I'm so encouraged, not that I needed to hear this from you because I already knew, but I'm so encouraged that you shot down those reports and again did so today that you're not going anywhere. I got this weird thing, Mac, about you and I. As you point out at the very top, you and I are longtime friends. We go way back. I don't want to see you stepping away because then I feel like we have to go out together and I don't want to step away yet. So don't go anywhere, Mac. Your energy is great. Your intellect is great. You have lost nothing whatsoever. I don't need you stepping away right now because I can't step away right now.
Well, you got to say the same thing because you bring it every day. Man, you've done it for a long time, and I love listening to you. So Let's just make a pact. We're both going to keep fighting them, and all those haters out there are going to say you and I are quitting too, so we'll just let them do it, and then they'll get fired, and we'll just get the next one.
Man, you're the absolute best, Mac. I do love you. I appreciate you, Mac. I appreciate the friendship, the relationship, and I always know that I'm going to get a very thought-provoking conversation that's going to be great for the show and our audience. Mac, great to have you on. Thank you very much. You know I appreciate you.
Well, thank you, Jim, and you know anytime you call, I'm on.
Let's get a quick phone call in here. Why don't we go to Hartford? Mike in Hartford. It's good to have you. Mike, how are you?
Hey, Jim. Thanks so much for having time to take a call. Hey, listen. I'm listening to you guys, all, and everyone seem to forget what six Super Bowl rings means. And Arthur Blank. Let me ask you a question, Jim. How many winning seasons does the Falcons have in 10 years? The last 10 years going back. Excuse me, more than that. Going back since 2012. The answer in the article, of course, said three, too. This guy, Arthur Blank, man, 28-3. Please, across the league, everyone, show some respect to head coach Bill Belichick. Six titles. He deserves a job. And this guy, Morris, will be a laughingstock in 2 years when he's fired. I heard you say you got to worry about Belichick trying to get 15 wins in 2 years. How about you get wins to begin with? Jim, Rome, I'm out.
Oh, man. Nice job, Mike. I don't agree with anything you just said, but I like the attitude. I like the energy. Bumpy start, you leveled out, you hung up on me. I like it. I don't agree with any of it, but I like it.
Good night.